Grace, mercy, and peace are yours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. All three of the texts are great, but I'd like to focus today on the second lesson from Colossians chapter 1. As I read that over and over again, it's amazing how it seems like that particular portion of this letter and all of Colossians really seems to be directed right to me. And you know what? It's directed to you. You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he's now reconciled us. Jesus did the reconciliation in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach. This is Paul talking about this. And we consider where Paul had come from and where he was as he addressed this to that early church in Colossae. It's an amazing thing how God could take the life of that one man and turn it in an opposite direction. But in reality, he's done that for all of us. Because aren't we sometimes all hostile towards God, not knowingly but unknowingly, and sometimes even knowingly? And Paul says, and this is the crux verse here, I, Paul, became a servant of the gospel. A servant of the gospel. And if we think about the other readings for today, the Old Testament reading with Abraham and Sarah and those visitors that came in, and the gospel with Mary and Martha, the one thread that seems to run through all of the lessons is the thread of hospitality or servanthood. And when we hear about servanthood, so often we think of that not in a positive sense, but in a negative sense. Oh, I don't want to be a servant to anyone. But in reality, God has called us as his children to be servants to all, as God sent Jesus to be a servant to us. He came to serve in order that we might have life and have it abundantly. And so as we think about servanthood in our own lives, how do you be that servant? What do you do to serve God in your own way? See, Mary and Martha in the gospel were serving Jesus' needs. Right? Martha certainly wanted to have everything in order for her. It would be kind of like, you know, if you would invite me to your home, you'd want it all to be nice, right? And don't worry about it. You don't have to invite me, but you would want it to be nice. And yet, in so many ways, wouldn't it be just better, instead of scurrying around, that we just sit and talk for a little bit? I think that's what Jesus wanted them to do. But Martha had to make it nice. And that was okay, but it wasn't really being the servant to listen to her. And then in the Old Testament lesson with Abraham and Sarah, these strangers come to town, and all of a sudden Abraham and Sarah become servants to them, and when they are getting ready to leave, they tell him that something great is going to happen in their life. Something that they had wanted, something they had hoped for, something that was important to them. And in this lesson, where Paul sees himself as a servant of the gospel, he wants to make sure that the word would be fully known. Now, does anyone here know anybody who's a servant? Yeah. Years and years ago in this church, there was a couple. Bill Murphy was his name, and we're trying to come up with her name. It was kind of different. But he was a butler, and she worked with him too. And I can remember speaking with him over and over again, because they worked in a North Shore home for this family for years and years and years. Anybody remember the Murphys? Yeah. Weren't they neat? Great people. And they loved being what they were in terms of a servant. And that went over into what they did in the church and in the community. And that's the ideal picture, I think, of what it means to be a servant. When you love what you're doing, not for yourself, but for others. Sunday school teachers, are you guys servants? Yeah, absolutely. People who serve at the altar, people who hand out bulletins, people who pick up weeds. Just about anything that we could think of is a way in which we can serve God's people and we can serve Him. And yet in our society, so often, those who perform servant-type roles are not very highly regarded, are they? Any of you ever been a waitress or a waiter? Why are you shaking your head like that? It was a terrible thing, right? You got some nice people. Oh, you were a terrible waitress. Is that what you said, Lauren? Oh. Well, I don't know about that, but so often in our lives, you know, it seems like what we're trying to do is just, we can't please anybody with it, right? And yet, how important it is that we have people like that. Can you imagine no one to pick up our garbage? That's a servant role. Can you imagine no one to teach our children in Sunday school? Now, I'm not equating garbage men and Sunday school teachers on the same level. But in reality, it doesn't matter what we are doing with the gifts that God bestows upon us, because God has called us all to be what? Servants. And if He could call Paul from what he was doing and literally change his life and move it in an opposite direction in order to become a servant of Christ in the strictest way of being an apostle, cannot God call you? And has not God called you in your baptism to be His servant? And I think for us in our 21st century world, in which we got so many challenges, and you know, these past few weeks, even in our country, have not been easy ones, have they? They've been difficult things. Things that we don't understand. Things that we have to stand back and ask God for wisdom and understanding and God's counsel and God's might as we look to ways in which we can better serve all of God's people in many and various ways. And so God challenges us through St. Paul in this reading to regain a higher respect, number one, for what God has done for us and continues to do for us, and then to take the gifts that God has bestowed upon each one of us as individuals and become servants of one another. Now, does that sound intriguing to you? Some are shaking their heads and some are going, uh-oh, now what's he going to ask us to do? The reality is, it's not what I ask you to do, it's what God has challenged us to do. See, Paul saw himself as a servant of the gospel for the sake of others. And that goes right into the face of what we have in a world in which you and I live today. See, the truth is, it's not all about me. It's not just about what I can do for me. But the world is saying what? Something opposite of that. It's all about you. It's all about me. Remember the old saying that they had, he who has the most toys wins? Wins what? In reality, God is saying to you and to me, hey, I've gifted you with individual abilities and talents and graces and mercies. What are you going to do with them? Do we keep it all to ourselves? We'd like to think that. I remember when we went on to a $3 million building campaign at St. Luke and Dix Hills years ago. One Sunday I said to him, hey, I got great news for you today. We've got all the money for the campaign. And everybody's going, yay! And I said, problem is, it's still in your pockets. It was true. It's true. But in reality, whatever it is that we have really isn't ours, is it? It's God's. God breathes the gift of life into us. God gives us gifts and talents. God gives us the ability to work. God gives us... Those are all God-given gifts. And they're not just for you. They're for one another. They're for all of God's people. So Paul saw himself as this servant of God, this great change in his life, and he came to the realization, because somebody said the other day, we have to have law and gospel here. Well, the reality is, yes, the law is there, but the law is going to do what for us? It's only going to condemn us. So how good are you at keeping the law, folks? I know about you, but I fail miserably. The law is going to condemn us. The law is going to point up to us what we do wrong. And that's not bad. That's a good thing. But if we only have the law, we've missed what God is all about. The balance of that is God's grace and mercy. The balance of that is the gospel. See, Paul was a great lover of the law when he was named Saul. And he tried to do everything according to that law, and what happened to him? He became so dismayed with his own being until God touched him with the Spirit of God and changed his life and balanced it out with his grace, so that he said to him, all right, now, Paul, you're going to be a great missionary. Only by my grace, though. Not because you were obedient to the law. And I'm not saying we don't need the law. We have to have the law. But the gospel will always trump the law. That's what God is all about. So, for us in our 21st century, I believe Paul is challenging us to use your individual gifts and graces to be servants to all. Servants to all. And that's not saying to you, we can be selective who we're going to serve. Oh, we'll serve this one, or I like that one, we're going to do this one. We're a servant to all. And I think that's where it begins in our country, where we have to understand that we're a panoply of people. We're all going to be different. We're all going to be unique. And yet God calls us to be one in Christ. He's the one who brings this all together. So a couple things for you to think about. And this was brought home to me really powerfully last evening, because I'm not a technology guy, but I live streamed the youth gathering down in New Orleans. There are 25,000 young people. Can you imagine 25,000 young Lutheran people? I didn't think there were that many young Lutheran people anymore. Right? And there's, I think, 20 from here that are there. And they were talking, the young woman that was the speaker was talking about the joy in their life and how in Christ alone do we have our hope. See, and that's what servanthood is about. It's about those young people, us middle-aged people, some of you older people, about being servants to the servant and to the servant's precious children. It means that we are a part of the priesthood of all believers. It means that we worship and we serve. It means that we are proud to say that Christ is the leader in my life. And so the challenge for you today is to think about this. How are you, or how am I, serving the Christ? How am I living the gospel? And how might I better serve Christ and his people? See, that's what the church is all about. We're not planted in the midst of a community by the Spirit of God just to say, we're great. But we're planted here to be the arms, the feet, the head of Christ in this community. And so the challenge is there for us. Be a servant. servant to the servant, and a servant to the servant's people. How are you going to do it? Only you can answer that. But if you have any questions of ways you might want to do it, speak to us. God is present among us. His Spirit is alive. And His challenges for us in this congregation, in this community, are great. We pray that the Holy Spirit would work mightily upon each and every one of us, that we would serve as Christ has served us. Amen. May the peace of God, then, which passes our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith unto life everlasting. Amen.